Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I am one of your hosts, Robin Seegers, and the other host is...
Elroy Seegers.
So, everyone, this session we're going to be talking about, am I too young to think about finances? And the answer to that is you're never too young. You're never too young. I was reading an article today and they said the minute they start learning add and subtraction with the second, third grade, they start learning math, start teaching them about finances.
Yep.
And you could do that by just sitting down with your kids and explaining to them when you're paying your bills. What bills you have, what you have to pay for. Like our kids, we started telling them about like the water bill and the light bill because they're running water like, I guess they thought it was all free.
Yep.
And once we explained it to them, like, no, we started showing them that here's the bill for this. We have to pay for this. They were like, oh, okay. And when I was coming up, my mom, the minute we all turned 14, as each of one of us turned 14, we were able to get in Baltimore, they had summer jobs. I know they still have those programs in inner cities where you can get a summer job at 14. And that was our first experience with getting a job. And we were told to save our money because we were buying our own school clothes and own school supplies.
Did your mom give y'all a bill to pay for it too? You know, like,
yes. Once we got to the point where we were working like part time after school, she gave us a bill. Everybody, because I had an older brother and older sister. And then when I became of age, I had a bill. So the three of us, we had bills. She gave us a bill and she said, you better pay it and pay it on time. And so we had to go and figure out how we had to do that. So we actually had to go to, you know, the gas and electric company or the phone company or whatever it was and make sure that bill got paid. Because if it didn't get paid and she got a notice, oh, we were in trouble.
So at an early
yours was HBO. So at an early age, you can start teaching your kids how to the relationship they can have with they should have money. With money. It starts at home. It starts because the school system does not teach you this anymore. I don't even think they ever taught you this. So start early. Start with your kids. Like when you give them, say you give them allowance, start teaching them about saving. Say, okay, part of your allowance goes to saving. Part of your allowance go to church. Part of your allowance will let you spend on, you know, some of the things we approve of. That's teaching them. And if you start teaching them, not that instant gratification, like I gotta have it now. You tell them to save up for, say they want a video game and they have allowance. Teach them to save up so much until they earn that amount for that video game. So now at an early age, they're not expecting that instant gratification.
Yeah. You know, as they grow up, they'll be more responsible for how they manage money. Not to say they won't make unwise decisions, but the decisions they make will be wiser than they have known without any information, without any training, without the tools you put in place.
Right.
You know, back in the day, it was just my mom's. So she was constantly working 12-hour shifts. So when she came home, she was wanting to rest. So you always look back and say, you know, when does she have time to teach us all the things? What tool does she have? Well, in today's technology, I mean, the kids have access to it. I mean, babies coming out nowadays with cell phones in their hands. You know, the technology is in their hands. They have a lot more knowledge today than we did back in the day. The internet is something that everyone has access to. Can you imagine where we would be today if we had this exact same information? It's like it's hidden information. You have to go dig it up in the days to get it. But right now, it's in your hand. It's right there in front of you. Different generations, you know, Gen Z, Millennials, Gen X, baby boomers, they all have a different work ethic in their opinion towards how they wanted to save money. Gen Z is 12 to 27 years of age, which is 97 to 2012 and beyond. Millennials is 28 to 43 years of age. So when you look at those different groups, baby boomers is 55 to 64, and Gen X is 65 to 80. When you look at those different generations, they all have a different perspective back then on how we save money. You know, I'm a baby boomer. I'm right on the edge of it, too. You know, I'm a born in 64, but I'm right at the edge of Gen X also. And there's different things that we did back then, what we understood what saving looked like. You know, cutting grass, you save all your money. What investment? I didn't know anything about investments. You know, I didn't know anything about, you know, saving for retirement or thinking about retirement. Well, today, Gen Z people, they have all the information about retirements and 401ks, so that they train and they do things totally differently. You know, I was reading, it was pretty impressive, you know, a lot of stuff that I was reading lately. It was, I guess it's surprising, but it was like, wow, this is great. It was talking about Gen Z has taken over the retirement game. You know, they're leaving their predecessors in the dust, they say. They have come to dominate the arena of financial planning and investment of the future.
And you know why? Because,
Go ahead.
No, where is it from?
From Bazinga. It says Bazinga looks at a recent study to explain this development. It's according, and then also talk about Vanguard. It says workers aged 18 to 24 were 32% more likely to invest in their workplace retirement plan than their older colleagues were at the same age because it's new to them. So they starting off like, oh, okay, this is new. I'm going and save. But back in the day, we're like, what? You want me to put my money where? How is, I'm not used to doing that. I'm not used to having a smaller check. But they grow into having that kind of lack of, you know, access to money because they build into their everyday living. I'm going to put away a certain amount. I'm a tithe. I'm going to pay bills. And I can live off this. But before, it was like we used to have all our money. We put a little bit away in the piggy bank. We didn't believe in all that retirement investment stuff. So now the older people who's now trying to do the catch-up game, you know, you used to living off $1,000. Now you're like, whoa, now I'm living off of $650. That's a huge hit because you're not used to living off of less. Well, today's people, they are.
Right. Also, what millennials and Gen Z, they get all their financial information off of social media. So, yeah, like you said, it's right in their hand. It's right in their hand. Now, I want you to think, it's something just came across my mind when you were talking. Think about it. We're baby boomers. So, the older baby boomers, what did they have? There was no retirement. There was pension. No. You stay at company 30 years, and then you retire, and you get your pension. So, they didn't have to invest in anything. The company was setting up pensions for you. It was just when we were in our 20s and 30s when all this 401k and all that stuff started becoming popular that you had to invest in yourself. So we were already working and we had to learn this on the fly. We went from not thinking about it because our parents didn't talk about it because they were in a pension system. Now we have to learn it on the fly. And a lot of us learned it late, but at least we learned it that we need to save for our retirement because the company is no longer doing that anymore. So a lot of us, the baby boomers, we were somewhat behind the eight ball when it came to retirement. But these young people, don't wait till you're 30 and 40 years old. I had a friend or a coworker, I say, that in her 20s, she every dime she made, she saved and invested to the point that she was able to, she could have retired in her early 40s with millions of dollars because she wasn't a materialistic person. So she socked away all her money from in her early 20s and her 30s. And by the time she was in her early 40s, she could have retired with millions of dollars, but she didn't because she liked working. And but she didn't, I know, I haven't talked to her in a while. I know she not work, didn't wait till she turned 60 to retire.
That's funny you said that about, she continued to work. They're saying that, you know, the Gen Zers, they really have a better quality of life rather than, you know, when I say extra money in their banks, I'm not referring to retirement. You know, I'm saying so like they want to have a better lifestyle. So a lot of Gen Zs are not buying houses and stuff like that. You know, they want to have a good quality of life. You know, so I think, you know, there was talking about on the news that they're really concerned about the housing market when it comes to the baby boomers, because we believe in getting a house and paying 30 years. They're like, I ain't paying no 30 years for no house. You know, I'd rather jump around from pillar to post, apartment to apartment, and you know, those kind of things. So it's amazing how the trend has changed and it has moved the needle from, you know, the baby boomers to the Gen Zers, how they approach, you know, everyday living, how they approach retirement. It's an interesting, you know, and they do, and there's a lot of studies, and you can find studies that can mirror the way you're thinking. And you can find something that can be totally opposite of what you're thinking. So I think, you know, you got to find the common ground between the ones and say, okay, one is saying this, one, the other is saying that. Where is the common ground between the two? Right. What I mean by that, it was talking about people saving less money because they want to put more money in their bank and they have a better lifestyle. And you can find others that say they rather, you know, save now, you know, and then not put so much away from retirement. But majority of the surveys are saying they are saving more for retirement than they are for like everyday, you know, savings now, which is really good because they're living on a plan. I was, you know, I know for a while there, I was like concerned about, you know, how these kids doing, where they get education from, where they, you know, who's teaching them. But a lot of us, we just lack the knowledge and the mindset and self-esteem.
Right.
That led us to overspend. Now you think about this here. For 2 years, we was in, 2-3 years, we was in COVID. So what happened in COVID? Everyone saved so much money, right?
Mm-hmm.
They lived on less because we couldn't do anything. We couldn't go anywhere. So we had a stockpile. Well, we had a stockpile of money. A lot of us didn't invest it. They said, "Why I got all this money?" And the minute COVID started hitting, we started traveling. We started doing things. We forget to take that money that we was putting away to say, "You know what? Let me go invest the extra money that I have now." We saved it, but Gen Z didn't do that. They invested. They invested into stocks. They invested into their 401k. So the mindset was totally different, where one generation saved it, put it away, other seven invested and put it away. So it's amazing how we just didn't, the generations do different things according to the way they was raised and when they were in the time frame they was born. Because think about it, Rob.
Right.
If I'm a baby boomer and I talk to another baby boomer, we're going to have a more or less a like mindset. So we're like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do this here. Now, if I take my mindset, talk to a Gen Z, I'm like, man, that's crazy what you're doing. They'll be like, well, that's crazy what you're doing. So it's like you do want to talk to those younger people, and the younger people do want to talk to the older people, the baby boomers, and see the, you know, the differences of what they're doing and come to like an understanding, because it can be eye-opening, and it can change the way of how you're thinking. Because I'm telling you, these young people, it's a movement. It is a movement when it comes to finances and how they're doing things. And they really going to shake things up because they have access to stocks and bonds. You got all these apps found that you can invest in and invest $20, $30 weekly. You know, I don't want to call all these names out for different ones that do this kind of thing. But you can do that weekly, IRA and Roth. You ain't got to do the company. You can do it through a different and independent app. But it's amazing the access that they have and the tools that they're using. Well, we're just, everyone, we're a little bit more reluctant because we're more versed in being consistent and giving to our retirement. And we're going to let that money grow. You know, if they got a pension, great. And then when we retire, we're going to live off of it. So it's a different mindset for different generations. So
that just... But saying all that is just to tell you that you can impact the young mind early in life to start having a relationship with money. Because because it sounds like they're catching on from social media, but you can catch them even before that. Before they start really getting into social media, you can catch them before that and start teaching them about saving and investing. You can make it a family game where y'all investing in stock and you showing them the stock
You
market
can.
and explaining it
You
to them. So don't
can.
think just because they're under 10 that you can't start teaching
Oh, yes.
them. You can meet them where they are and give
Yep.
them that concept, because when they get
Yep.
older, it's already instilled in them, because our school
Yep.
systems do not really teach this. Because my husband had to teach both our sons how to balance a checkbook.
Checkbook.
He made them track the bills, made sure each bill showed him what went to him every time we paid a bill, and he had to make sure it was marked off and it was in the we went old school. We did the check register, and we made him, both of them, go through, pay attention to the bills, when they were due, all of that, because the school system is not, just don't take the time to teach them. And then you go into college, oh my goodness, your kids are getting bombarded with credit cards. And if you have not taught them anything about money, and so now they incurring debt because those credit cards are so easy to get in college. And then you have your military people, the young men and women in the military, thank you for your service, 17 years old, and they never manage money. And I'm hoping that there's programs in the military to teach those young soldiers how to manage their money. It's up to
Well,
us to teach the next generation.
it's interesting you're talking about the military. Think about this right here. How many people in America can gross $1,500 in savings every month? What do I mean by that? If you are E1 and you just go into the military, you ain't got no bills, and they're gonna house you, they're gonna feed you, they're gonna have insurance. So all your check is yours. So let's say you get 750 every 2 weeks, every 15 in the first. That's your money. You ain't got no bills, right? But let's say you were someone who was making the exact same amount of money, 750 every 2 weeks. You couldn't survive off of that because you got rent, food. You couldn't survive off of that. So the military does great when you're talking about how much money you get to take home every single day. It may not seem like a lot because it's just like 750 per paycheck, but it's a lot when they're taking care of everything else. So you're right, Robin. When you have that money, they're like, whoa, I'm gonna do all this money. And they just start going doing things that may not be wise, buying cars, motorcycles, credit cards. They do have tools in the military. I don't know exactly what they are, but I know they have some tools. They have sessions and stuff, but it's up to people to sign up for those things and to be taught those kind of things. But I don't think it, I think it should be mandatory if you ask me. I
I
think high
agree.
school, I think colleges should be mandatory. How we teach our kids and how we instruct them on what a checkbook looks like, how to balance it, ATM fees, charges, overdrawn money and stuff, the consequences and stuff. I think that's it's imperative in order to for us to teach our kids when they go on their own. They don't go out and start bouncing checks and not having enough money, crying home to mom and dad, overspent, I mean, because you got adults right now doing that right now, making bad decisions. It's like, oh my gosh. I was talking to somebody today, and it wasn't she's I think she is a Gen Z, and she said she was talking to one of her friends, and her friends took all her money out of the 401k to buy a house. And then she says, why would you do all that? You don't have a penalty and all this other stuff. She says, I ain't going to retirement. I'm young. I can save back up. And she's like, but the consequences and the money that you're going to pay for, that you're going to incur the cost for this year, the penalty for taking it out, and then that's part of your income from the year. You're going to have a huge hit at the end of the year. She said, what? So it's like, just like sometimes we need to consult somebody before we make the decisions. Because when you go to a 401k, they're going to allow you to get money out. They're not going to ask questions. They're going to say, here's your pill. They're going to let you take it. But sometimes you need to consult a financial advisor and say, what is the impact if I do this? And then you can have your information. And if you decide to do it, at least you're going to it knowing. And she was a millennium too, I think she was. So it was a Gen Z talking to a millennium. And I was like, wow, that's just, woof. But I mean, we do sometimes what's best for us right now. We don't think about the future. But I am glad to see that a lot of Gen Zers are saving a lot of money. That's the younger generation. So I'm glad to see that. You know, and I understand the impact of millennials, why they're not able to do so much, because so much student loans, and you know, you got money that you got to pay back. You know, thank God we have some relief for student loan relief that allow us to do more with our money versus just paying it all to student loans. And there's so many things that's out there. This is Secure Act 2.0. Go and read what Secure Act 2.0 is. You know, how some companies are now, I think it's either this year or next year, they are forcing employees to save an emergency automatically. And they're doing all the automatic investments and stuff. So it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. And they're taking some of the money and they put it towards their student loan. So a lot of companies is begin to change that mindset, because making your check is great, but what are you doing to pay off your debts? What are you doing to save? So it's great to see that the Secure Act 2.0 has those things that have been instituted for any generation. You start a new job, this is what it's going to be. So those things are all great that they're being instituted. I think probably next year is the foundation of those things that we said. So.
Well, because if you think about it, if they're helping you to manage your money, it's a benefit to them. It's a benefit to other businesses, because now you're not in debt and you're no longer able to have that buying power. You're managing your money well. If you're managing your money well, you have buying power when you spend it all and you go overboard. Now you're in debt. You don't have that buying power anymore. So it's to their benefit to help their employees manage their money, because it helps the economy. You think spending and going overboard and being in debt, huge debt, is helping the economy? Yeah. No, it's when you can manage it. That means you have constant money that you can pour into the economy when you're managing well.
Yeah. So yeah, I was looking online real quick. It was talking about student loan payments and elective deferrals for matching your student loans. Companies doing that, they're self-certifying. They have an option provision for employees to offer an emergency savings account linked to a defined contribution plan for non-highly compensated employees beginning in 2024. Employers may enroll participants automatically into an emergency savings account up to 3% of their salary, up to a total contribution amount of $2,500. And that's an emergency fund. We always say, have $1,000 in the emergency fund. So this is like $2,500. So it's amazing what they're doing to help people. So you're not always living from paycheck to paycheck. It's like they're helping you to plan. They like your financial advisor and your employer. So and this is in 2024. So I would tell people, look into those things. You know, if you don't look into those things, sometimes we're just not told. And when we're not told, we just go through life like saying, "Well, I didn't know that." Well, we're trying to tell you now, so you can at least investigate those things and start to make wise decisions about your money now that can impact your life and your money later.
Right. So that's for young people. You going out to the job market. Look at these companies to see if they offering financial advisors for free or offering these kind of programs, because that makes the company attractive, because that means they're looking out for you. They're helping you. Young people, look for those jobs that's going to offer these things to you, because like for older people, we tend to look for like vacation and all of that. But and when you're early in life,
say that.
When you're early in your in life, these are the kind of benefits you want. I mean, you want vacations as well, but that makes it more attractive. So young people, go out there and look for those jobs that offering, great benefits.
Yeah. Right.
As far as your finances. Go ahead.
Yeah. Another thing that's contributing to how people save, it was saying about 41% of Gen Z and 44% of millennials, those who are currently between 27 and 42 years of age, are significantly more likely to want to do some sort of paid work during retirement. So they're saying, I'm going to work during my retirement, so I'm not worried about it. Whereas people like me, you be like, when I retire, I ain't working another day. So again, this is the mindset. So they're saying, okay, I know that I like my lifestyle, so I'm planning on working into my retirement and beyond. So I'm going to always have some kind of influx of money. Even though they're saving for, you know, retirement stuff, they still plan to work beyond that. So once again, that's a different mindset, you know, because I'm like, baby boom, like, when I retire, I ain't trying to find no part-time job. So it's just amazing when you look at the percentages. And that's a high number, 41 to 44% of Gen Z.
Yeah, millions, that is.
They want to work beyond their retirement. It's like, whoa. Now, some people have to work beyond your retirement. And some people work beyond their retirement because they say, you know, you want to continue to work to keep your body moving. So there's different reasons why people work. You know, it's not always finances. Sometimes it's just like, you know, I want to stay busy because I ain't got anything else to do. So there's different reasons why. But this is because survey is based off of finances only. You know, like, say, hey, into my retirement year, I'm gonna continue to work. You know, pretty off of that.
So
it's amazing.
It is. So people that if you have teenagers out there, please let them get some sort of part-time job so they understand how to manage their money, because you don't want to wait for them to be off in college or after college to learn how to be responsible for a job and responsible for your money. Because, we have someone now we know that is getting their first job, and I know they're going to have a fit when they start seeing FICA and Social Security taking
Who's
out.
FICA?
And
then, FICA and who?
They like, I don't know these people. Why they taking my money?
Who
fed?
Who stayed? Who what that? What that? What's that saying for?
So
what most people do, Rob, they say, I make $5 an hour and I work 20 hours, I'm gonna get $100. That's for the $100 coming in your hand. Hold on, why I'm only getting $65? Somebody don't cheat me out of some money.
Right. Right.
So you're right. Right. That first check, gonna get slapped around. Slapped around.
So you know what? if you let them get a job early, like in high school, it don't have to be a lot of hours, just something so they get used to being responsible for going to work, responsible to a job, responsible about what they doing with the money, understanding that you have to pay taxes on the money. April 15th getting ready to come up. They understand that process. They understand what's coming out of their check. We have to expose our kids. A lot of times we want to protect them and protect them. No, I just want you to go to school. I just want you to go to school and do well. But when they get out there, they have no clue. We overprotect our kids. Yeah. And they're more resilient than we think. So we need to allow them some leeway to learn these things before they get out the house. Because once they out the house and they out there on their own and mom and dad hours away. So you have to expose them.
Talking about working before I tell you a good way to capture your money. When I was younger, I went to, you know, they had the fair in Greensboro, the local fair. And I always wanted to try to go to the fair to help set up. And back then they would pay you, I can't remember, this is say $10 per hour. And I worked a whole day, like 80 hours, right? And they would pay you cash. So the man came out, Rob, he said, all right, $10 an hour, you work 8 hours. He was like, $80. He says, minus this, minus this, minus this. He's like, okay, so you get $44. I was like, hold up, like $40. I said, hold up, where's the rest of my money? He's like, you gotta pay taxes. I was like, yeah. That's taxes if it was an official with a form. You're not going to tax me personally because there's no form you get that I sign. So I'm like, you're trying to rip me off, bro. So the other guys got $40. I got my whole $80. I was like, no, we ain't doing this today. You're going to give me everything that you owe me. So he was shorting us because he was just saying, well, you got to pay for taxes. You got, yeah, that's true. But when someone cutting my grass and I'm going to pay them $20, I can't tax that person. Because there's no official documentation. And like, I don't work for you directly. It's like, so be careful with your kids when you go out there and they're doing work. There's people out there, they're going to try to swing your kids out of the money. You want to teach them how to negotiate prices and stuff like that. But hey, there's an app out there, Robin, that can help them maintain and track their stuff. You know that? There's an app out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Bags of Money out there on Android. It's a great app. It's a great way for kids or for adults to track their money, the income and the expenses. And you can put your information in there, and you got a frequency of getting paid every 2 weeks. You put that number in there, it's going to tell you on any given day what your checking balance is. You start putting your expenses, and it's going to just populate those things based on how often you get paid. I mean, the expenses monthly, and it's going to do it for you automatically. All that you got to do is make some adjustments when the number is different, or put in things like restaurant, laundromat, or gas, and it's going to update your account, your checking balance, potentially for the days down the road, and definitely the current one. The best thing about this app, it doesn't tie to any kind of financial institution. It's what you put in. It's your electronic registry. There's a different register for the income, and it's a different one for the expenses, but they all tie in to give you your checking balance. Bags of Money, stop on Android, check it out. It is one that can really help you monitor your finances.
And it'll be coming to the Apple version will be coming out soon.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you. Okay. This is some good information. You know, we need, probably need to go ahead and wrap it up. But before we wrap it up, I want to thank my wife for always doing a good job of posting and keeping everything up to date. She does an awesome job with audio editing, with pictures and images. So I want to say I appreciate you for doing that. You allow me to focus on other things, and you do a great job. You know, so I appreciate the work, the hard work that you put in on these things. So I pat you on the back. I pat you on the back.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So if you want to get with us, our podcast is actually can be listened from our website, from giftedgenerations-llc.com/podcast. And if you don't want to download any kind of app, you can actually go to our website. You can see other things on our website. And you can see all the podcasts that we have done. We got probably over like 60 hours now, I think. I forget. It's just, we've been doing this for quite a while. And on the Facebook, you can find us at GiftedGenLLC. Instagram, you can find us at gif.gen. On YouTube, it's Gifted Generations LLC. And my wife went out there and got every piece of material to get us out there on the airwaves. She got us on Spotify. She got us on Google Podcasts. She got us on iHeartRadio. And you can find us at Financeology101. And she even started a Twitter handle at GiftedGen2019. 2019 is when we was formed. Gifted Generation. So look, as she tweeting things, like it, share it, pass it on. You pass on everything else. Pass on some good quality knowledge. Pass it on, because if you don't need it, maybe somebody else may need it. And they may find it very useful. So once again, thank you for listening in. And my wife, you can have the last words. You see that?
Thank you. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. We truly appreciate you. I pray that this information, all the podcasts, will be a blessing to you out there and help you on your financial journey. Just as we put this together, just to spark people's interest to start researching and looking into things for themselves, so they can be better managers of their financial resources. So thank you, everyone, and we appreciate you, and we'll see you the next time. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.